praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee faithfully served the Lord for more than 7 decades, co-laboring with Watchman Nee in China in the first half of the 20th century, before continuing his ministry in Taiwan, later in America, and eventually over the entire earth. He spoke these weekly life study messages before thousands of people, and much of his speaking has been published as over 400 titles. These life studies are perhaps his most significant work, taking 21 years for him to complete, and we're happy today to be able to bring you selected portions from those messages. If you'd like to find out more about his ministry, about the life studies themselves, and Living Stream Ministry, please visit our website, lsm.org. Now let's join today's program. As Christians, all of us have some realization of the need to pray. Many sermons are given every Sunday, encouraging God's people to pray. But sadly, for too many, after a few short, feeble pleas for God to give us this or that, we quickly tire, and prayer is over. There's another kind of prayer experience, even a prayer life, that God desires to bring His people into. But not only does He desire us to be strengthened in our prayer life, He actually is waiting for us to enter into this intercessory prayer before He will move on earth to accomplish His divine purpose. Don't miss today's Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program furnished by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Bob Danker has joined us again. Bob, I'm really happy that you could be here today for our final program dealing with the golden incense altar in the tabernacle. We've had a delightful time seeing the treasures associated with this wonderful type in the Old Testament.
It's good to be with you, Chris, again, to consider this marvelous picture in the book of Exodus.
The message today, Bob, is going to focus on the kind of prayer that takes place at the incense altar, in contrast to the kinds of prayers that we typically offer at the other altar associated with the tabernacle, and that is the altar of burnt offering, which typifies the cross. Bob, the prayer at the incense altar is called intercessory prayer. Briefly, how is intercession different from our common prayers?
Well, Chris, intercession is much deeper than our common prayers. At the first altar, our prayer is mainly concerned with our own needs, our own interests, the things related to us. This, we could say, is common prayer. This is the kind of prayer that most people offer to God, and this is the kind of prayer we have at the burnt offering altar. But when we enter into the tabernacle at the incense altar, we have a deeper and higher kind of prayer. This is called intercessory prayer. In intercessory prayer, we are not concerned with ourselves. We are concerned with God's interest, with the need of others in relation to God's purpose. This intercessory prayer is a personal and confiding prayer to God, intervening before Him for the benefit of others and not for ourselves.
That is really the key. When our prayer, our energy, spiritual energy, is focused on others and on God's need even, that really is the key to intercession, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, Bob, we have a marvelous portion in front of us today. Let's join Witness Lee, and then we'll have another chance to fellowship.
A person that intercedes at the second altar is one without natural sight and without the personal and natural virtue. Whatever with him is Christ. Christ is his life supply for the real content, and Christ is his light for the real sight. And Christ, the real virtue, for his sweet odor to our God. Then this person can pray at the incense altar. At the first altar, whatever you pray can never be an intercessory prayer. But at the second altar, nearly whatever you pray intercessory prayer. At the second altar, you pray for God's economy, You pray for God's dispensation. You pray for God's move. You pray for God's recovery. You pray for the churches. You pray for others spontaneously. At the first altar, to get your prayer away from yourself, that's hard. But in the second altar, you yourself have become ashes. When you pray at the first altar, you always cry for yourself. Lord, I need your mercy. Lord, give me this and do me that. It's hard for you to get away from yourself because at the first altar, it is full of yourself. But when you get to this second altar, you pass through the cross and you pass through the table. No more natural contact, but Christ as your life supply. Then you pass through the lampstand. No more natural sight, but Christ as your light. Then you come to the ark. That is Christ as God's testimony. Not your natural being. The natural being is just a veil. The veil is your natural being versus the ark. And what is natural being? The natural being is your conduct plus your sight plus your virtue. This is your natural being. And this natural being is the veil. The veil that covers the ark. That means versus the ark. Are you going to pray at the incense altar, not those personal prayers, but intercessory prayers? Are you going to pray this way? You must realize that you have become ashes and you have no conduct replacing Christ as your life supply. And you have no sight replacing Christ as your light. And you have no virtue replacing Christ as your fragrance. So you are not a natural being. With you, there's no veil. What is here with you? The ark. God's testimony.
Bob, this is a very deep, very experiential point. When we come to Christ at the first altar, which we saw earlier typifies the cross, our being is totally focused on our needs being met by Christ, whether that's the forgiveness of sins or whatever shortage we're in awareness of. And it becomes the focus of our prayers, obviously, at that point. But the kind of prayer that takes place at the second altar has absolutely nothing to do with ourselves. In fact, everything concerning us represents the veil of separation. Talk about this a little, just what it is to be free of the self at this second altar.
Yes, Chris, this is very, very important for us to understand. We need to see that no natural person can pray at the incense altar. It is absolutely impossible for us to pray the kind of prayers that are prayed at the incense altar if we're still in ourself, in our natural person. In order to pray at the incense altar, our natural person, as Brother Witness Lee pointed out, must be reduced to ashes. That means we, in ourselves, we must become nothing. And whatever we have in our natural being must be replaced by Christ as the incense. So at the incense altar, what ascends to God is nothing out of our natural being or our natural self. It's just Christ as the sweet incense. Well, how can we get our natural person reduced to ashes?
Right.
This sounds...
I was just going to ask you that. Yeah.
This sounds quite drastic, right?
Right.
But actually, this kind of speaking, you know, having our natural self reduced to ashes really portrays or signifies the working of the cross. In the picture of the tabernacle, we know we have the first altar. And on the first altar, the sacrifices were offered there. And they were slaughtered, they were placed on the altar, and then the fire burned them or consumed them, and they became ashes. And before anyone offered a sacrifice at this altar, he had to lay his hands on the head of that offering. That means he identified himself with that sacrifice, so that whatever happened to that sacrifice actually happened to him as well. Well, this is a wonderful picture
right.
of how the cross of Christ operates. We all know that at the cross, it was Christ who was judged by God for us. But we also need to realize that we were judged by God in Christ also on the cross. This means that we need to learn how to apply God's judgment at the cross to our entire natural being. Day after day, we need to let the fire that burned on the altar, mm-hmm. which is the fire of God's judgment,
right.
burn in us, burn within us, to consume our natural person and to reduce us to ashes. Well, what is this fire that consumes us? Well, it's not a physical fire, and of course it doesn't make us into physical ashes. The fire is just God Himself as the Spirit within us, burning within us to burn up what we are in ourselves and to reduce us to nothing so that we can be replaced by Christ, and therefore we have the qualifications to pray at the incense altar.
Bob, we're not talking about the practice of asceticism here, are we?
Not at all, Chris. No, this is the actual practical working of the cross of Christ through the Spirit of Christ within our inner being.
Yeah, it's through the Spirit. That is really the key. We're never able to put the flesh to death through the efforts of the flesh, are we? That is one of the most frustrating, spiritually debilitating exercises we can ever undertake, I think, in our Christian life.
That's right, Chris. Whenever we contact the Spirit, two things happen within us. On the positive side, the Spirit gives life to us.
Uh-huh.
On the negative side, there is a fire of God's judgment that is in the life-giving Spirit that consumes our fallen natural person.
Well, Bob, we have been actually involved, I would say, in a tour of the tabernacle. We've been visiting all of the highlights, and in this section, we're going to see what is the culmination of this marvelous tour that we've been on in the tabernacle. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Whenever you pray at the second altar, you are a real member of Christ. You are a part of the body of Christ. You are a part of the corporate Christ. It is then that you are cooperating with Christ in His interceding ministry. He intercedes this way, and you cooperate with Him in the same way.
Amen.
He intercedes, and you carry out His intercession. By your interceding, this is really one with the Lord. At the altar, you have a debt. At the table, you have another debt. At the lampstand, you have another debt. At the ark, you have another debt. Then, at the incense altar, you have the fifth debt. Today, in the eyes of God, Too many are praying here at the first altar. Very few praying at the second altar. Because if you are going to pray at the second altar, you must pass through the altar. It's a full realization of the blood, of the ashes, then of the bread, signifying Christ as your life supply, and of the lampstand, signifying Christ as your light, and of the ark, signifying Christ as your testimony, versus your natural being. Your natural being is no more here. Then you could stay at the incense altar and pray and pray and pray. This is the destination of this divine tour. It begins from the altar it get through the table, the lampstand, the ark, and it stops at the incense altar. That is the destination. You just stay there. The only place as your destination where you should stay is the incense altar.
Yes, Bob, our tour of the tabernacle needs to end at this second altar. You know, since we began this very detailed look at the tabernacle and all of the associated items and have seen item after item and how they typify each one something of our experience of Christ, there really is a progression in our level of experience, isn't there? And it culminates here at the incense altar. Many of our listeners may feel like, oh, what we've talked about on some of these programs is just too lofty, too far out of their grasp spiritually. But say something about the progression, Bob, and God's goal of getting us to this point. Is it really out of reach, I think, is what I'm asking.
Actually, Chris, this progression is something very practical and very experiential, experienceable. We can experience it in our daily life. Well, you may say the first station in this progression is the altar of the burnt offering. At the altar of the burnt offering, we experience Christ as our sin offering, as our trespass offering, and as all the offerings. We need to learn how to offer Christ as all these offerings. This is a very basic and fundamental experience for our Christian life. And after we experience Christ at the altar through his redeeming work on the cross, then we are qualified to enter into the tabernacle. And the tabernacle is a type of Christ. So this means we enter into Christ. Once we enter the tabernacle, what do we find there? We find the table with the bread, which signifies Christ as the bread of life. That means we need to learn to enjoy Christ as the bread of life. And this enjoyment of Christ as the bread of life spontaneously brings us to the lampstand, where we enjoy Christ as the light of life. We have light in our inner being. And then, after we enjoy Christ as the lampstand shining within us as the light, then we can move on in our tour of the tabernacle or in our experience of Christ, and we can enter through the veil to touch the ark, which is also Christ as God's testimony. And then after we experience Christ as the testimony of God, then we go to the incense altar. And this is the destination of our tour. This is the place where God wants us to remain. He wants us to live here and to spend our time at the incense altar praying or interceding with Christ for God's interests on this earth. The kind of prayer that is offered at the incense altar is very important to God. This prayer is a sweet fragrance to him. This kind of prayer fulfills his purpose. It satisfies his hunger, and it delights his heart. This is where God wants all his people to remain, at the incense altar, praying and interceding for his interests on the earth.
Well, Bob, I really appreciate this progression. Of course, we hear about this goal, and even maybe perhaps we've experienced it ourselves to some small degree, and our spiritual appetite is whetted to enter into this experience. But the wonderful thing about this picture of the tabernacle, which is really just the picture of Christ, no matter where we are in our spiritual experience, he meets us there and takes us on to the next step. Bob, there was instruction given in Exodus 30 regarding the incense altar. For our last section, our last portion in the life study of Exodus devoted to the incense altar, we want to look at this instruction in this portion. The verses in chapter 30 say, "And you shall make an altar on which to burn incense. And when Aaron sets up the lamps at twilight, he shall burn it, a perpetual incense, before Jehovah throughout your generations. You shall not offer any strange incense on it." That particular instruction is really very critical, as we'll see in this last portion. Here's Witness Lee.
What God wants us to pray with is Christ as incense. We must pray Christ. We shouldn't pray with strange incense. Anything that you have prayed is not Christ. It's not related to Christ. That, in the eyes of God, is a prayer with the strange incense. You may ask me, Brother Lee, Do you mean we shouldn't pray for a wife, for a good house? You have to check how much what you pray for has to do with Christ. You just check this way. You'll find out. You pray about a wife, it has nothing to do with Christ. That is a strange instance. I don't mean we shouldn't pray for any material things. I don't mean this. But how much whatever you pray has to do with Christ. This is a test. This decides whether what you pray is the incense or the strange incense. Now, what is strange fire? In typology, the strange fire was the fire other than from the altar. Because on the altar, the fire was the fire that came down from the heavens. The fire came down from the heavens. It began to burn there. And it continued to burn all the years. So, to burn the incense, it must be by the fire from the first altar. If you burn the incense by fire other than that, from the altar, that is strange. A natural motivation, a natural motive, has never been checked with the cross. That becomes a strange fire that motivates you to pray. If you would see this, you would realize, my goodness, today, how many Christians are just motivated to pray by their natural motives. The cross never touches their motive. Their motive never gone through the cross. And that is the strange fire. If you would see this, you would say, my goodness, no need to say others, even myself. How many times in the past up to today, my prayer has been just by my natural motive. And for something that had nothing to do with Christ. Your prayer indicates whether you are in God or you are outside of God, your prayer indicates. How you pray, what you pray, that tells you where you are.
Bob, this is a word I think that causes the light to shine both on us and also penetrate into us. On the altar of incense, there was to be no strange incense and no strange fire. Bob, what do these refer to in us that God must judge and bring through the cross before we can have any real experience with Christ at the incense altar?
Chris, you mentioned two things, the strange incense and the strange fire. God commanded his people not to offer strange incense. What does strange incense signify? It signifies anything that is not Christ, because the real incense signifies Christ, ascending to God as a sweet fragrance. So whenever we come to God and we pray concerning anything that is not related to Christ, then in the eyes of God, this is considered by him to be strange incense or a strange prayer. For instance, if we pray for something just for our own benefit, our own satisfaction, this is not related to Christ. It is not related to the fulfillment of God's purpose. It's just related to our own desires, our own satisfaction. Right. This is strange in the eyes of God. This is strange incense. So that means that all our natural desires and our natural prayers for ourselves and our own interests, these need to be judged, and they need to be crucified on the cross. And then there's the second thing, strange fire. Well, the fire is what burns the incense. And according to the scriptures, the fire that God wanted to burn the incense was the fire that burned on the altar in the outer court. So what does it mean to offer strange fire? Well, this was done by the two sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, in Leviticus chapter 10. They came to the incense altar, they burned incense, and it says they offered the incense with strange fire. And that means they burned the incense with a fire that was not taken from the altar in the outer court. What does this signify? In our experience, this signifies that when we pray, then we have a motive, something motivating us. This is the fire, right? The fire signifies the motive for our prayer. Then when we come to God, strange fire means that our motive has never been dealt with by the cross. It's a natural motive. It's a fleshly motive. It's a motive that comes out of ourself and has never been terminated by the cross. So this kind of prayer is something forbidden by God.
I think many times we may, from time to time, utter something that has what we may consider to be a very spiritual ring to it. But we have a realization deep within the motive behind even the utterance of such a spiritual prayer really was something that was, again, occupied with self, ultimately. That's an experience probably we don't like to talk about, but nonetheless, I think we all know what it is. Right, Bob?
Yes. This shows how much we need to experience the working of the cross within us to touch every part of our inner being.
Well, five wonderful programs, all devoted to the incense altar. And I think, in this life study of Exodus, if we had warned our listeners up front we were going to have five programs dealing with this one item in the tabernacle, they would have all scratched their head and say, are we going to hear the same thing day after day? And it just has not been the case. Each day the Lord has met us and provided us with something very fresh and very rich. And I appreciate that we've had a chance to have you involved, Bob. Thanks again. And join us for another topic as we continue on in the life study of Exodus.
I'd be happy to do that, Chris.
Let me point out quickly that the life study message is really for all of these programs on the incense altar are encompassed in volume number 7 of the life study of Exodus, and altogether 23 messages in this volume. It's marvelous. We'd like to recommend it. Let me point out also that a very high number or high percentage of the listeners that do purchase one of these volumes end up buying the entire set, and I'm not here trying to sell books. It's just that rich, and once you get into it, you'll be drawn. So contact us about that. Do join us as we continue on. Another vista awaits us in our tour of the tabernacle. For Bob Denker today, I'm Chris Wilde, and thank you very much for listening. Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, produced by Living Stream Ministry. We have these recorded studies on every book of the Bible available to you online free of charge. Just visit our website, lsmradio.com. You can download the MP3 files, stream them live, or add them to your podcast subscriptions, all at no charge. Once more, the website, lsmradio.com. To contact us, send email to radio@lsm.org or call us at 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Thanks for listening today.